In John 10, we read, Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, and we know that it is because of his righteousness that you even listen to us. As we approach our national holiday of Thanksgiving, we recognize how very much we have to give thanks for. We thank you, our awesome Almighty God, for who you are. We thank you for sending your Son to provide for us a way out of the sin trap we made for ourselves. And we thank you for the promise of eternal life for those who believe in you, Jesus, for the peace and the joy that only you give. We thank you for our first year in the theater, and we look forward to what this next year brings. Speak to us today through Pastor Scott. Father, we ask your blessing on his family, and we trust that you are glorified and your kingdom furthered through his obedience and his life work. We give this day, we give our lives to you, and we pray these things in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. We're singing, "How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall
that chorus. God bless you. Let's be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And before I forget this, just want to make an announcement to you guys. And this is an official announcement. Michelle told me I could say this. Michelle Selsey. If it's official, it comes from Michelle. I'm telling you that right now. Ain't that right, Matt? Where is he? So, after our musicians and our singers, they spent some time together working on a name, and they've came up with a name for their group, and it's called Ignite. So they will no longer be called the worship team, because we don't want to imply that the only time you worship is when you sing, because you worship the Lord in all that we do, right? Amen. I just want to say that little teaching right here. The people who make the coffee, the people who greet Jessica back there on the board, the people who teach, the children, that is an act of worship. You come here today and do anything for the glory of God, that is an act of worship. And so these guys are going to be officially called Ignite from now on. And they came up with that name themselves, and so you can give them a hand. Now we got to just work on some t-shirts and some, you know, 8x10 glossies so they can go around and sign everything. And they're going to cut a CD here short soon, but anyway, can you hear me in the back there? All right, great. I'm excited to be here today, celebrating our one-year anniversary. The word "one" was very important to me this week, as I thought, well, the last couple weeks, I've been thinking about today, celebrating one. So we're going to talk about oneness and how important that is. So on a scale of 1 to 10, speaking of numbers, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is security for you? Yeah, I got to tell you, for most people, it's a 10. I mean, if you listen to what's been going on today, I mean, and what's in the headlines and everything, everybody's really concerned about security. I just want to say this one thing on what's going on today. I had a whole bunch of things, but I had to whittle it down to one thing. As followers of Jesus Christ, today is a day for wisdom, not fear. of wisdom, not fear. Jesus said, be wise. And so we can't operate in fear. We got to be wise. Now, wisdom is now, especially when we're dealing with terrorism or refugees or immigration or the declining morals in our country. So that covers a lot of area. We need wisdom. We pray for wisdom, not fear. We can't react fearfully. We have to act wisely. And there's a lot that covers that ground, but wisdom is what's the wisest thing to do is always the best thing to pray. Jesus said to pray. James said to pray. So wisdom is always important. But as I studied John chapter 10, and I knew that I had to keep this somewhat short because of what I want to get accomplished today, I thought to myself, well, the most important thing that I see in this scripture, in this John chapter 10, if you got your Bibles, please open up to John chapter 10. When I was looking at this, there was two things that really stood out. And certainly, when you read verses 26 through 29 there, it's very, or through 30, what Laura read today, security was important to Jesus and it was important to John and God the Father. Very important. And so I thought, wow, this works out really good for what we're experiencing today. And so we're going to talk about security. So let me jump in and just start here. Let me start at verse 22. So if you guys are with me and you're reading your Bible, I just want to get to those verses. And so remember, we always read the Bible. We look at observation, what we see. Then we try to interpret it. And then we try to apply it to our lives. That's the biblical way to study and look at scriptures. And so in verse 22, I should say between verse 21, what Matt left off and where we start at in verse 22, they believe there's 2 months. The reason why they say this is because John writes at the time of the Feast of the Dedication. Now, the Feast of the Dedication is what the Jewish people celebrate today as Hanukkah. It's celebrated in December. So we know that, and then he goes, it took place in Jerusalem, and it was what? Okay. It's winter. They're celebrating Hanukkah in December, so we know that time has changed because of those words. And so they're in the temple and they're on the colonnade of Solomon, which is, they believe, is on the east side where it's out of the wind, out of the cold wind, or one of those sides that's out of the wind, and they're teaching on that side. Now, that colonnade of Solomon's was a place where the early church in Acts met and studied and worshiped together, where they gathered as a large group. And so he says that they're at the temple. So the Jews gathered around him and said to them, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Now, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. Now, so Jesus didn't have a posse, a group of people, or I'm trying to think of that word. I just had it on my tongue, too. There's a movie out there, an entourage. I didn't watch the movie. I'm just thinking of the name. Jesus didn't have an entourage with somebody walking behind him saying, this is the Christ. This is the Messiah. You know what I'm saying? He says that I've told you guys, and he has. He's told them over and over. He actually told the woman at the well, we know in John chapter 4. He also told the disciples he was the Christ Messiah. But he didn't. He's not the kind of guy. He's not going to go out and publicize it. He's not going to make a big deal out of it because one of the problems was their idea of a Messiah and his idea of a Messiah was quite different. God's idea of the Messiah. And so we get down to 26. He says, I've told you guys and you don't believe. So before I go any farther, I want to jump down to verse 30 because this is important. Jump down to verse 30. Verse 30 says that I and the Father are one. Jesus said this. He made the statement. I mean, that's pretty clear, isn't it? I am the Father and one. Jesus to be claimed to be one with the Father. Now listen, he's done this before. And it's important that we understand that Jesus and God the Father are one. Old Testament prophecies of Jesus Christ predict this. They predict his birth, they predict his life, they predict his death. And so we have this written proof about who Jesus is. And then Jesus' teaching and his great many miracles, his works. Jesus says, I do the work of my Father. Finally, as we've been studying the book of John, we've seen the I am statements. I am the shepherd. I am the light. I'm the bread of life. When Jesus uses the word I am, the Hebrew word for God is I am. Everybody knew what Jesus was trying to, who he was saying he was. They wanted to trap him. They had this bad motive. They said, we're going to get him to say it publicly so that we can stone him. We can kill him. Their motive of asking who Jesus was wrong. It was, they had murder in their hearts. Because see, Jesus threatened their way of life. Jesus was a threat to them. And Jesus said, if you knew my Father, you would know me. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus lived in perfect oneness with the Father. He held the same power as God and was sent to earth by God's authority. Now, Jesus had written proof, he had works proof, and he had DNA proof. The Father acted. See, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we talk about the Trinity. We have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are separate, but the same in essence. Whatever the Father did, the Son did as well. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. So Jesus was claiming, now again, they're one in essence. Jesus was claiming that him and the Father, God, are one. So that's a big deal. You got to understand that. You got to believe that, that he and the Father are one. Now, as we move down to 26 and 20 through 29, the verses that we read today, that's very important. So here we go. The verses 26 through 29. But you, he says, you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep, listen to this, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Now, that's the greatest example that we have in the Bible of what we call, in what they call in theology, the doctrine of eternal security. And it answers the question this, is God capable of losing his own children? Now, dads, let me ask you a question. I don't know if you're willing to admit this or not, but any of you ever lose your kids when you take them shopping? Maybe you don't want to admit this with the wife sitting next to you, because, I mean, even today when my grandkids are over, my wife's like, where's the kids? Where's the kids? I'm like, they're outside. They're okay, you know. I mean, I've had a few of those panic moments in the store when I couldn't find the little rascals. But see, is God capable of losing his own children? I am. Humans are. But is God? See, Jesus never taught that the security of a true believer does not depend on human effort. There are, now listen, I use the word true believer, because the scripture does teach there are weeds in with the harvest. The Bible does teach that there are sheep in with the goats. And if you ain't from the farm, you might not be able, if you're from the city, I'm sorry, no slack on you guys. I mean, I had city folks come to our farm all the time. We had cousins coming down from Chicago. They wanted to go out and watch the chickens lay eggs. I'm telling you, that's how city, if they, like, you go ahead, knock yourself out, you know. Go ahead, reach under that old hen and bring that legs in. Tell us all how that happened. The Bible does teach that. There are people in that look like they're believers, but they're not. If you look at the harvest and the planting of the sowing of the seeds in Jesus' parable, it clearly teaches that three out of the four probably were not believers, true believers. Now, if you are one of Jesus' true sheep, you can be secure in Jesus because, and that's what we're going to work on today, security. It's the duty of the shepherd to protect his sheep. We looked at this a while back in John chapter 6. It says this. Let's all read this together. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but I should raise them up on the last day. Now, friends, go look at the words in Greek and Hebrew. It's really hard to figure out. He says the shepherd is not supposed to lose one. Now, either Jesus is a competent shepherd or an incompetent shepherd. Which one are you going to choose? I'm sorry, Father, I lost one of your sheep. I don't think I'll ever hear Jesus say those words. I don't. I do. And if you're one of Jesus' sheep, you are secure of Jesus, because Jesus' true sheep hear only his voice and follow only him. That's what John chapter 10, verse 5, Matt covered last week. They won't follow a stranger. They'll run from him because they don't know his voice. Dwayne sent me a picture the other day of in Spain, the shepherds are losing all the ground for their pasture, this public pasture where they all graze. Now, if you go out west, they have lands where sheep and cattle graze, public lands out there as well. And the shepherds around Spain, what city was that? Madrid, were losing their lands to development. So the shepherds run 2,000 sheep in downtown Madrid. And you ask yourself, well, how in the world are we ever going to separate those? Those guys back over that country, they don't tag. Up here we tag stuff, animals with tags in their ears, cattle and sheep. They don't do that because back they still rely on the same principle. Their sheep know their voice. And when they go to call out the herd, all they got to do is start calling. And the sheep that are the shepherds will follow their shepherd. It was an amazing picture. They won't follow a stranger because they don't recognize his voice. True sheep will not wander off and be eternally lost. Now, a true sheep might blackslide. A true sheep might wander off. Trust me, I've wandered off the path. I spent a year wandering away. I know what that's like. I've wandered away 1 year for God when I had some struggles before I was full-time in the pastorate. And I had a whole year, and it just was terrible. I felt terrible. And finally, I heard the voice of Jesus Christ saying, come home, Scott, come home. And I let a lot of things creep into my life, work and, you know, doing all this other stuff. And finally, the shepherd called home. I went to my pastor, and I said, hey, I got to talk. He's like, oh, my gosh, he was freaking out. What's Scott got to talk about? Sometimes as pastors, when somebody comes up to us, listen, do me a favor. If you say, Scott, we need to talk, tell me what it's about, all right? You know, he's like, he was over there, oh, this is going to be bad, this is going to be bad, this is going to be bad. And when I went to him, I said, I'm here to confess sin. I'm here to confess sin, and I'm here to tell you that I wandered away. He's like, phew, I thought it was something serious. And he heard my confession, and I was restored. That's like the prodigal son. You know, he was a son that wandered off. And he came to his senses, and he heard the Father's voice, and he came back, and the Father was there. Didn't judge him. He welcomed him back. And so sometimes we do wander away. Sometimes we do backslide, a true sheep does. But eventually you'll hear the voice, and you'll come home. Or if it gets too bad, he'll take you home. As we know in 1 Corinthians, if you are one of Jesus' sheep, you are secure in Jesus, because eternal life cannot begin and then end somehow. Jesus back again last week, John 10:10. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Now listen, I was at my cousin's funeral the other day. I wanted to stand up and preach. You know, that's the hard thing for when you're a preacher, to stand up and say, hey, you forgot something. But I kept my mouth shut. It was okay service. I mean, it was okay. But I wanted to stand up. My cousin lived. See, abundant life starts when you repent and believe in Christ. That's phase one, ladies and gentlemen. Phase one, the abundant life, the eternal life, is not when you get to heaven. It's when you first repent and believe in Christ. That's when the eternal life comes. That's when you start living the abundant life. That's phase one. Phase two is because Christians don't what? They don't die. You just step into eternity. Yeah, it looks like everybody else is dying, but you don't really die. That phase two is when you step into the presence of Jesus. When you close your eyes here for the last time and you open them back up and you're in the presence of all of our Lord and Savior. That's phase two. So eternal life starts here and then continues on. And so if eternal life could end, it couldn't be called eternal life. That would be a contradiction in terms. If you are one of Jesus' sheep, you are secure in Jesus, because Jesus gives eternal life to his sheep. And if you did nothing to earn it, there's nothing you can do what? Who earned their eternal life? Who earned their salvation? Ephesians 2:8 is really clear, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's a gift from God. See, if I could lose my eternal life, then I should be able to get it back again. And then I could lose it again, and I could get it back again. You see what I'm saying? If I'm in charge of losing it and getting it back, and you know, that's messed up. That's wrong. There's no one. I could gain it. I can't gain it, but then I could lose it, but somehow I could get it back because God's forgiven. He always gives it, and I could lose it again? I mean, where's that stop? I know there's some challenging scriptures in the Bible, but I got to tell you, when I look at John chapter 10, these verses right here, I got to tell you, I got to ask some serious questions. And if you are one of Jesus' sheep, you are secure in Jesus because Christ promised that his sheep will never perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. If one true sheep was lost, God and Jesus are liars. You ever broke a promise to your kids? Yeah? Or someone? Well, if you break a promise, you're a what? You lied. Could anybody call Jesus a liar or God a liar when they make such a statement like that? I mean, this is serious stuff, and I understand the other side because people, there's a lot of people that believe you can lose your salvation. I'm saying that if you're a true sheep, Christ promised, Jesus promised that his sheep will never perish. So, question. Final one. You got your purse on you? You got your purse on you?
Yes.
Let me see that here for a second.
Why?
Just let me see that for a second.
No.
No, just hold it up here for a second. Give me that.
Hey! No.
You don't get it?
No, I don't.
Well, does that make you angry? You are the perfect person. You're actually the angel. You are the best person to steal somebody's purse from. You know what I mean? Thanks. That's right. I wish I'd. You know what? I almost would have. I didn't know who's. I thought maybe Suzanne would set up here and I'd steal her purse, but she's sitting in the back today. But you actually, thank you for being part of my skit. You're in my skit today. That's what it says, but listen to me. If you are one of Jesus' sheep, you are secure in Jesus because what does it say? No one is powerful enough to snatch the true sheep out of God and Jesus' hands. That's what it says. Listen, hey, I love Romans 8, 38 and 39. I'm convinced that neither death or what? Neither angels or what? Neither the present or nor powers, nor height or depth. Let's see, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. Yeah, our Lord. It says nothing. The key word. It says nobody can snatch him out of my hand. You know, it's a powerful illustration to see somebody get angry when, I mean, angels, right, I'm going to put my shirt purse over my shoulder. There's nothing going to snatch that person. If you are one of Jesus' sheep, you are secure in Jesus because, and I love Jesus on this next one, verse 29. I don't know, when you were a kid growing up, did you ever play my father can beat your father up game? My father is bigger than your father? I don't know, sometimes boys did that. I grew up on the farm. We had cousins down the road. We'd get in arguments once in a while, like my dad had more tractors than you or whatever. My dad's bigger than your dad. You know, my dad. Did you know that Jesus uses that argument right here? Verse 29, he comes right out and says, listen to this. God the Father guarantees the eternal security of anyone who truly repents and believes in Jesus. My Father is bigger than your Father. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. He uses the big Father argument. And I got to tell you, he's got the biggest. He wins, doesn't he? He wins. See, I know that I know that God the Father, that Jesus the Son, that the Holy Spirit, they have the ability, the capability of secure my relationship as a follower of Jesus Christ. They do. And I keep saying the word true sheep, and I want you to understand. See, what we run into a lot of times is that people either aren't true sheep or they are not assured of their salvation. See, that's one of the biggest things. I've had to talk to people over and over, and they say, God, Scott, I keep praying the prayer, and I keep praying the prayer. And I'm like, you know, if you really mean it, you only need to pray it once. One time. If you really meant it. You can't say, okay, I'm ready to follow you, Jesus, and then you take it back. You know, I want to follow you and give my life to you, and then, no, I'll be in control. No. See, most people struggle with the assurance of salvation. That's the question, am I really a child of God? How to know if you're one of Jesus' sheep? Here we go. How do you know if you're one of Jesus' sheep? You know, normally, I've listened to these sermons before. The preacher usually says, what noise does a sheep make? Yeah. And then he asked everybody to do the bow. I'm not going to do that because that's just a little cheesy. Anyway, how to know? Because this is important. How to know if you're one of Jesus' sheep? You have responded to a clear call to repent and believe in him. Clear. Jesus is calling. I mean, Matt, myself, Dwayne, a lot of us preach the gospel from here on a regular basis. Others put out the call to Jesus. Jesus says, look, I am the one. Whoever believes in me and receives me becomes a children of God. And if you repent, the Bible says, Jesus always said, repent and believe. If you say, you know what, God, Jesus, you're holy. God, you're mighty, and that you did the things you did. You came to this earth, lived a perfect life. You died on the cross and paid the penalty for my sins. You rose again, so I had victory over sin and victory over the grave. I believe in you. I know who I am. I see who I am. I'm an imperfect guy who's rebelled against you, who's wanted my own way, and who's committed all the sins, you know, multiple times. And I see who I am, and I say, Lord, I want to believe in you, and I want to change my direction. I was living my life this way and living for me and only for me, and then now I'm going to live my life for you, and I want to follow you. And I've heard that call, and you've made that decision. That's important. If you're a sheep, if you've responded to Jesus' clear call to repent and believe, and I'll tell you today, if you haven't done that, you need to do that. You can do that here. You can do that at home. It doesn't make a difference as long as it's sincere between you and God. The second thing is that how do you know your sheep? You follow Jesus closely. And I could spend a lot of time on this, but it really comes down to 1 John. And Jesus, where he talks to me, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you're going to follow Jesus closely, you're supposed to walk, 1 John 2:6, in the steps that Jesus walked. You can't say that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and still live your life the same way. If you follow Jesus Christ, that means you got to get into his word. I've told you so many times, I have never read the Bible. I became a follower of Jesus Christ. I repented, I believed, and I said, okay, I'm going to start reading this thing. You have to read God's word. You need a daily little bit of God's word every day so it can instruct you on how to live. And if you start feeding yourself on a regular basis, you'll start to learn how to be the person, that man that you should be, or a woman you should be, and the wife. My cousin, the one thing that was powerful about my cousin's funeral is that she went through and said, her husband found her diary, and she had wrote in her diary that my goal was always to be a Proverbs 31 woman, and to be the wife that God wanted to be for my husband, and to be the mother that God wanted to be for my children, and for the grandmother for my grand, and then be the worker who she was a teacher who came into school and loved her kids every day and was Jesus to all these people. That was the testimony. That was the most powerful thing about that funeral. And that's what we're supposed to be. If we follow Jesus Christ, that's what I found out. That's what you need to find out. What kind of person you should be. What kind of parent and spouse and worker. It's got to be different than what you were. You can't go on living the same lifestyle and say you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You can't. I'm not saying you're going to be. Follow Jesus closely, not perfectly. Not perfectly. We're not looking at, you broke the rules. No. If you're in a church like, you find a church like, you need to leave that church, because it's not about following the rules. It's about following Jesus. and his word. And then finally, you need to rest in God's security. Man, so many people have fear and worry. You know, when I hear these things, the first thing, one of the first things, when I see something or experience something, all of a sudden my heart jumps back and then I go, oh, wait, okay, Lord, what are we going to do here? You know, I'd start talking. I look at the scripture. I say, well, you know, how do I find my security? Well, I come back to the Bible. I come back that I'm a God's child and that God, I'm in God's hands. But it's important, if you know you're a sheep, I don't know if you're one sheep. That's why you need to write a Bible. First, read the Bible. 1 John 5:13 says, I write these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. I like to show that to people. See, if you don't know that you're a child of God, you need to, a sheep, a true believer, you need to get that taken care of. That's Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. So let's finish up. Go back to the Bible. Here we go. Verse 31. The Jews, after Jesus said all this, picked up stones to throw stone him with. I love this part. Jesus answered him, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered, it's not for a good work that we're going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because, listen to this, you being a man, make yourself out to God. Now, Jesus was God. Many have claimed to be the Messiah, the Christ. Many will continue to claim to be Jesus, the Messiah. But only this Jesus, this Messiah, was the real one. Jesus goes on, is it not written in your law? I said you are gods. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came. Listen to this. I love this. And the scripture cannot be broken. Do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into this world, you are blaspheming? Because I am the Son of God. And if I'm not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. See, he's saying everything I've done is from God. It's what the Father does. It's what he always has done. He says, if I'm not doing works, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. They're one. You know, there's scriptures that we know that Christ is in me. And when Christ is living in me. I've been crucified with Christ that I no longer live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, Christ is living in you, the scripture says. Just like Jesus and God are in one. And so Christ is living in you. And again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. I love that. Jesus always like, see, there's wisdom. Jesus says, not time yet. The wise thing for me to do is leave. And so he went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first. And there he remained. That he went back across the Jordan River where he started the ministry. I think that's a pretty cool thing. I had some fun thinking about that. He went again to that place. John had been baptized, and many came to him. And there he said, John did no signs, but everything that John said about this man was true. And then many more believed in him there. I like to think that when Jesus went back there, you know, Jesus goes back in John chapter 10. Now he's heading back to Jerusalem. He's headed for the crucifixion. He's headed for the trial and all this stuff. But he goes back one more time. Across the Jordan. And I like to think that he spent that time there just kind of thinking about John, his cousin, and everything, and all the miracles and the people that believed in him. And he did some reflecting. And so what I'd like to do as we move forward is worship team, if you'll come on up. Ignite, thank you. Ignite. As we celebrate this year, I've got some that I want to talk about. And so let's look back a little bit. So here's what we're going to do. Everyone smile. People say, huh? Oh, you got a mic. Oh, I just stole Laura's mic. Oh, sorry. Okay. Scott, don't just stand there and do whatever you're not supposed to do. So what we're going to do is I want to show you. We're celebrating year. So here's the first year of the first service. I didn't do so well that service. No, that's actually the service, our first service right there. And I've been looking over the pictures in there. You know, those first like 7 or 8 people, they just came to support us that first year. Them ones, but I don't know what I'm doing. I thought I was picking my nose, but I'm not sure what I was doing there. And Suzanne, she was wide-eyed about it. So we are looking at something. I'm sure it was on the screen. I looked there, and I was trying to go through the faces and see who was there and who wasn't. And things have changed in a year, haven't they? Huh? Our attendance is up. We're seeing people's lives get changed. Things are happening. And so it's so different than a year ago. So I thought, here's what we'd do. Our worship team, we're gonna. Matt's got the microphone, and so I'm gonna ask you guys. We're gonna give you all a chance to speak, and the questions are this. So I'm hoping that one of these can fall in your wheelhouse. What has God done in your life in the last year? What are you thankful for in our first year at Schubert Theater? Or could you pray for the future of WCC? So Matt's gonna walk around with the microphone. We're gonna take some testimony. You don't have to get up. Matt's gonna be like pulling, handing the mic. Now, again, you got to be brief. You got to be bold. You got to be biblical. Me and Matt were talking about this the other day, and I said we had a staff meeting, and I asked Matt this question. So, what are we thankful? What's it been like moving here from this, to the theater? Matt came up with a great answer. I hope he could. I told him. I said, "Good, you get to start out first." So, tell us what you told us that day.
Well, when I was thinking about all that God has done over the last year, and really prior to a year, because it was about 2 months, it was 14 months ago really that God knew that this would be an opportunity for us, and we wanted to trust God, and we wanted to come here, but there was all this, anything changing brings anxiety, and it brings worry, and I just, even months after we had been in here, somebody had asked me, how is the move to the new, to the theater going, and just this really warm feeling came over me because, where God's people gather, there He is.
That's right.
And church is not as much about the building we have, although it provides us a ton of opportunities for other things, but it's about the people who gather. And so I was just, as I thought about it, I was really encouraged to think that even all the changes and all that work that got into this, when God's people started to gather here, this became home. And God's people were present, and God's word is preached, and His voices were proclaimed. And it just became the new normal because that's what God's people do. And that was just really encouraging to me.
Amen. Amen. So after a couple of these testimonies, we're going to break out into song. So guys, let's do that one time just to show them. We're going to do our chorus of How Marvelous. And so you ready?
We're singing How Marvelous.
Sorry, she took out. No, I'm just joking. Okay, here it is. Here it is. We're giving you this opportunity. Matt, Valerie's over there. Remember, I'm actually the what do they call it? I'm the moderator of the event, so.
You're the AA guy?
Well, I'm the moderator.
Facilitator?
The facilitator,
the
yes.
The facilitator.
All right,
yeah.
Great.
What God has done in my life. Many wonderful things. My son, who was lost, has been found.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right.
Woo!
Praise God for that. Praise God. Anybody else? Matthew's going to be Roman. Here's Sandra.
Okay, you know I don't talk a lot, so.
All right, yes. Yes.
My name is Sandra Kelly.
Lord, forgive her. Lord, forgive her. Forgive her, Lord.
My name is Sandra Kelly, and I'm addicted to Wellspring Church in Jesus. And I just want you to know, having been a part of Wellspring for 15 years from the beginning, this is amazing. Our God is so incredible on what He has done over the last 15 years. And if He does nothing more than where we are right now, I know He's going to, though. We just have so much to be grateful for. Just to see all of you here is amazing in itself. And so, if you don't know Jesus, time to ask who and where, because He will change your life.
Changed your life, didn't He?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Amen.
We're singing How Marvelous, How Wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful. Save His love for me.
walk it right over there to you. It's got to be brief.
The Lord has just helped me, has helped restore my family. And that's awesome.
Amen. 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 That's good. Say amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
I found the love and caring support of a new family, and I've created a new life for myself. And as far as prayer for the future, I hope that this church continues to grow because it's a wonderful thing.
Amen. I'm telling you, I can testify. This woman right there, she said she's got a new... See, that's what happens. When you receive Christ, you get new thinking. You get new friends. You gain so much more, don't you? It's life-changing. You change your direction. You change your desires. It's powerful. It's powerful.
I am so thankful for all the women of this church. I have become just part of all of you, and I love you very much. So I thank you all for everything you've done for me, and I love you all.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
We're singing how marvelous.
Learned no matter what happens, whether it's good or bad, God will always take care of you in the best way possible.
Amen. 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 That's right.
Well, for me, I just want to say that I came to Wellspring because I needed healing. I need healing in the spirit. I needed a new family. For 15 years, I missed having a wonderful place to where I could worship. And I had nursing home ministry that I was taken out of. But God's given me that ministry back.
Amen.
And I want to thank John Cricket because we're just getting started, but we're growing. And we're just going to shine. We're just going to shine. We're going to be marvelous. We're going to be wonderful in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Anybody else? Well, you can say what you're thankful for about being here in the first year. You can pray for us. You can pray for us. Oh, go ahead, Marie.
2 years ago this month, I was re-diagnosed with breast cancer. And it was such a shock. Without God as my partner through this, and my husband and family, many, many dear friends, it would have been a fearful journey that I don't know if I could take the steps, but it wasn't. It was day to day, and you just go through it, and God just held on to me through this. And looking back, I think, wow, the surgeries, the chemo, the treatments, the medications, it's like overwhelming. But when I took it day to day with God as my partner, it was doable. And I'm just very thankful for that.
Amen. 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 Amen.
We're singing how marvelous, how wonderful.
I just wanted to say being here is an answer to prayer. A few years back when a group of people got together to ask God what he was doing to reveal areas of weakness and strengths, We felt like he was redirecting us to a building, and the purpose is not just, the end result is not just to be here, it's to have a greater impact in this community. And when we see numbers grow and increase, we realize that's starting to happen. And today in the sermon, I was thinking the assurance of salvation is a discipleship issue. And the cool thing about that is we're starting to see people in our home groups ask to be discipled and to grow in the knowledge and the grace of who Jesus is. And so that's exciting to us as leaders.
Right.
Our goal
that's
is right. to lead ourselves and others into a life change, and to see you guys respond and have a desire to grow in Christ is really exciting.
Amen. 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 That's right.
I just want to thank God for the special events he's guided us to this year. For the first time ever, we were involved in two parades this year and touched people of Hartford through that. Our Rake and Bake, which we do every year, really touched some lives in a special way. And I think of the day that we redid all the landscaping here. That was a job so big that it couldn't have been done in one day without God's hand on it, so... We thank you, God, for guiding us through all those special Amen. Events and ask for your guidance in the future. Show us where to go.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. 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 Got one over here.
Well, my name is Cricket. Wow, we have a lot of people here. Oh, yeah. Sit up front. Never saw it. Hey, Jeff. The nice part about being in this building is we're all in the same building. The kids are no longer over in another building. We're all under one roof. And it's so nice to see the kids come running through with that popcorn flying. You know, it's just wonderful. And these cup holders, I love these cup holders. You know, God provides little things that we didn't think about. You know, cup holders, they're big, right, John? But above all, to see even people stepping out, women and others, and asking, can I disciple you without that book? Right, Sandra? Places that we thought we wouldn't go, we're there. Police departments, fire departments, and having the boldness within us to step out and ask them, where do you go to church? You know, we're at the police department, and that police officer said to me, my cousin goes to your church. My favorite cousin goes to your church. Who is that? Bob, you're kidding. And he said, Bob tells me he loves your church. He likes your church. I'm like, woo woo, so do we. You know, we're under one building because we're one with God.
Amen. We are one. That's right, one building.
We're singing how marvelous.
Years ago in about August, we had just celebrated a huge celebration of my nephew's remission from leukemia, and by November he was he had gone back out of remission, I guess, and the leukemia had returned. And so many of you have been praying for him and asking about him and the family, and I can't thank you enough. He's in remission again, and
amen. Yeah. Amen.
You wouldn't even know it.
He's, thank you, Lord.
He's 12 and he's doing well. Thank you.
Amen. So we got a prayer. We got a thank you. It's Thanksgiving. You want to thank the Lord for something? We're giving you that opportunity today. All right.
Dear God, I just want to thank you for such a great church, Lord. And I just want to thank you for the love this church shows to each other and to people outside of it. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to give wisdom to this church on how to reach people in our community. Give us ideas. Give us knowledge, Lord, so that we may find new ways to serve and draw people to you. In your name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. You got a prayer? You want to pray over this church? Go right ahead.
I'm very, very new here. My name is Christy, and am filled with gratitude because I moved from Waukesha to Hartford a couple years ago, and I was a member of the Fox River Christian Church there, and I didn't know that there was a church here in Hartford, and I got busy and I stepped away and I hadn't been to church, and one day I was just filled with a compulsion to get back to church, and I started just going online looking for a church, and I found you guys, and I'm like, I'm back home, and I'm very grateful for all of you and all the women who've taken the time to say hi to me, so thank you.
Praise God, amen, amen. Oh, we got one in the back there. This is Matt.
My name's Matt. In the last year, God has brought me here to Wellspring. God reached out to me through my wife, Krista, and my children. I came here to see the Christmas program almost a year ago. I've found forgiveness, new faith in Jesus Christ, fellowship with some great guys that I met and started to get together with recently, one of which I've known for a few years, that's Chris. I'd like to thank him for reaching out to me. And just recently when my little arrow Logan was sick, I just reached out for prayer, me and my family, and everybody answered. Scott came down to Children's Hospital to be with us. It's just so wonderful. I'm just looking so forward to the future and walking with Jesus. And I appreciate everybody here, and this is a wonderful place. Amen.
We're singing, how marvelous.